All right, here we go. Another edition of Radio Waves. I'm Mike Stark.
And Richard Wagoner.
How are you,
live
Richard?
Live from...
The LA Radio Studios.
LA Radio Studios. Unless you're not hearing it live, and then it's recorded.
Nobody listens to this live.
Right.
Honestly.
Really, I think they would.
Honestly,
such cutting edge, especially this week. It's all stories.
Yeah, well, this is where we discuss Richard's upcoming column.
Yes.
And people tend to want to listen to this dribble, so we continue to do it,
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful. This time, it's kind of a personal story, right?
Well, it was funny. It explains things, and I think it probably fits the profile of a lot of radio people.
Okay.
You know, how can you fall in love with a business that actually is not the best? Well, in the past, it was best conditions to work in.
Right.
But it's always been somewhat nomadic. You know, you're going to be moving in a few years. Your job is never set.
Never secure.
These guys that have been let go of K-Earth recently, it's kind of sad to see them go, but most of them had actually longer careers toward their end of their career at one station than
did
in the earlier years. I mean, Jesus, they'd go 2-3 years before they'd move off, either be fired or move to another station for whatever reason.
It is one of the few careers where getting fired is kind of a normal part of the business.
Right, right. And you're going to be moving town to town,
right,
up and down the dial, like they said on WKRP in Cincinnati.
Right.
But that's the way it is.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Very few people, and especially, I mean, you would culminate by getting to Los Angeles if you could, or San Francisco if
sure.
you could. And some people do like to stay in small markets.
Right.
But as far as trying to make it big, yeah, you're going to go to... you know, Dubuque, Iowa. You're going to go to Fresno. You're going to go to Sacramento. You're going to go to...
Barstow.
Hopefully work your way to San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's more changes already than I've ever had jobs.
Hmm.
So how do you fall in love with that unless you're just a radio junkie? So what makes people get addicted, basically, to certain things? And I always knew I was weird. I was one who, I like listening to old radio. I like listening to old music radio. Doesn't
right.
necessarily have to be top 40. There just happens to be more recordings of that. I still love listening to the recordings of the AOR version of K-West and
sure.
KMET, obviously.
Sure.
But why? Why do I like that? I mean, it's not that I truly live in the past. I don't have 8-tracks anymore, although I've hung on to them longer than most people. But why? And as part of my normal job, which is teaching high school kids, well, I hate to use the word teach because it sounds like people are learning. Standing in front of high school kids.
That's funny.
And we saw a video as one of our trainings with a guy named Simon Sinek, an author, motivational speaker, business marketing consultant. And there's this kind of internet, I guess, web show. Is that what you call it?
Right.
I'm pretty professional, actually, but it seems to be only internet, called Inside Quest. And they okay. interviewed him. And he's speaking primarily of millennials. And I think we spoke about this before. But just to get into it a little bit more, he's speaking about their lives and what they're addicted to. And he's specifically talking at this one point about cell phones and technology and how social media is addicting. Why? Because it makes you feel good. When you get a like on your phone, when you hear that tone and you reach for the phone and you say, oh my gosh, someone liked me. They liked my comment. They liked the post that I made.
It's an adrenaline rush.
It's an adrenaline rush. It's kind of, and they say it's dopamine, which is, you know, it's the pleasure center of the brain.
Right.
I get not pleasure center, but it causes pleasure.
Right.
And in the way he was saying it, it's a little bit more addicting to millennials or people of the age. And of course, a lot of them are now over 21, but when they're in their formative years, they're not supposed to be drinking. They're not supposed to be doing
right.
drugs. Now, we know there's exceptions, but
sure.
but that's their legal high
oh,
is
okay.
this social media. So they're truly addicted to it. And you can kind of think of other examples of this in life.
Right.
People who do things that, I mean, music people who play the guitar.
Sure.
My son. It's an interesting thing because their pleasure is doing that. And a lot of other people would look at it and say, I don't want to do that.
Sure.
So from what I can tell, old radio is my dopamine fix.
Yeah.
Because obviously when I was growing up, I must have had a good time. I was hooked on radio from a very early age, but I knew the personalities. I knew the music. I would listen. I just absolutely loved listening to the radio. And because I had a childhood that was enjoyable, I think that that's why I'm still listening to that crap now.
Hmm. Could be.
And that's why I like that type of radio. That's probably why I'm not necessarily the best radio critic, because I'm looking at it through a set of glasses that isn't necessarily focused on the future necessarily.
Right.
I still think it's better, but that's, you know.
Right. Do you think that if radio in general was better, that you would still be that excited? Or are you
I think I would, because, you know, that I like high energy, exciting radio, and I like radio that the problem with a lot of stations now is they're really not going and doing the one-on-one. The importance of that DJ talking to you. When I listen to the radio, they were talking to me. I loved listening to Rita Wild on KZY. I loved listening to everyone on KMET. Because they were doing it for me.
And talking directly at you, right. Not at the masses.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that's lost in modern radio is that connection.
Hmm.
They're doing a lot of things. A lot of things are done right. A lot of promotions are done right. And you can listen to old recordings of really bad radio in the past as well.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they're doing so much that isn't necessarily directed to you, the listener. You know, how can you do that when everything's sponsored, for example?
Mm.
Everything is sponsored.
That's true. You know,
let's go to the weather. Weather's sponsored by whatever. You know, happy Honda people.
Right.
Let's go to the traffic. That's sponsored by Toyota. Let's go to this. And it. I don't know how you can do it. You're doing everything for them.
Right.
And
it dilutes that one-on-one
situation.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you.
But it kind of does explain, the dopamine thing explains why I'm so weird.
Yeah, and you talk about your Aunt Ina.
Ina. Yeah. She gave me the radio, the 10-transistor real tone radio. I remember that. It had the cool little dial that went across instead of the knob.
Right.
AM only at the time. So the funny thing, though, is I was so in search of KHJ because I had heard of KHJ when I was young.
Right.
I think I was 10, so you'd think I'd be a little more aware, but maybe I was a little bit younger. I was actually listening to KGBS because that's what the dial lined up on.
Oh.
And I had to ask people, is this KHJ? Is this KHJ? Is this KHJ? Well, they're not saying KHJ. They're saying KGBS. But that's how I discovered KGBS.
Wow.
Which was in its own right an interesting station as well.
Absolutely. Well, it is interesting. And so the bottom line here is that the cell phone is the equivalent of the transistor radio that you got from your aunt.
Right. And in my case, I can listen to those things on my cell phone, so I'm
so
set.
You're set.
Set in two ways.
You're set.
Wonder how much those transistor radios from the 60s would cost now in real dollars, because they were cheap, but they weren't
I bet
cheap.
They're worth a lot now. And you know who has a huge collection of those? This is real off the wall. Roger McGuinn of the Byrds.
Really?
Collects transistor radios.
Really?
And if you go online, if you go on YouTube and put in Roger McGuinn and radios, I think there is a little mini tour somewhere where he shows you all of his radios.
Wow. I wonder if the one I first got is in there.
It might be. It might be. But check that out. More ratings problems.
Yeah. And we've hit on this as well. But it's basically when they went to the portable people meter.
Right.
Is that what it's called? Portable
PPM?
PPM, portable people meter, right?
Yeah.
Or personal people meter. I always get it wrong. Anyway.
Portable people meter.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
When they went to that, apparently they had kind of thought about, what about headphone usage?
Mm.
And Arbitron at the time said, yeah, we'll find a solution.
And they did.
And they never really did. Apparently there's this weird, weird connection you can make where you plug in one thing and you do something else and it somehow still registers, and
that's not gonna happen.
No one ever hooks it up, so it doesn't get counted. So, you know, here's the problem. 70%, according to Jacobs Media, 70% of their respondents said that they listen almost exclusively, 50% or more, to radio through headphones.
And that's a throwback to the last part of your column, where everybody's attached to their cell phone.
That's true too.
Yeah.
That is true too. I mean, a lot of people are doing things, you know, you go running.
Sure.
You are on a bus, you're, you know, whatever. There's things that are done on a personal level. And, you know, if you're like me, you don't really like people and you just want to be in your own. And so, you're listening to music. A lot of times it could be recordings that you have on your phone or whatever recording device you have. But there's enough people that do listen to radio. And if on a cell phone, even if you don't have the radio tuner built in, you can listen on all those apps.
Yeah,
and those apps are pretty darn popular.
Yeah, you got iHeart puts out an app for all of their stations.
Tune in, iHeart, Streams, Hi-Fi, whatever it's called.
Yeah, there's tons of ways to listen to the radio on your iPhone.
Yeah, and so I think there are a fair amount of people that do. Well, they're not rated.
Mm.
They don't get caught in the ratings.
Whereas in the old days, it's theoretically possible that the person listening on the headphones could still fill out the diary.
They would remember.
Yeah, and they would put it on in their diary.
Now, that's not a perfect system either.
Right.
But more and more, it just seems like the PPM has so many limitations. Another one that I mentioned in the column, you're driving down the street, you have your windows open or you have your air conditioner on full. That may interfere with the signal.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, wow. And then you have the other side of it. You're walking through JCPenney or Sears and they're playing some station that gets picked up. You're not listening at all.
Right.
But this thing's decoding it.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
That's why I think that's why Coast is doing so well.
That could be, because that's a favorite of retail stores, doubt about
it. And do you know anyone who actually listens?
I think my wife does, occasionally.
So there's one.
Yeah, one. All right. I think we might have touched on this last week, but you didn't have the details, and I didn't either. But there were some big bonuses given out to radio people.
I didn't even look up the two lower guys, because their bonuses were only $500,000 and like $750,000. But Mary Berner from Cumulus took in an extra million.
Okay.
An extra million.
Okay.
Now, what did she do to earn that?
There is
How
dead
do you
air.
Normally
that
judge?
Was dead air right there, in That's case right. you didn't know that.
Do we have crickets you can insert?
Yeah.
The stock is usually how you judge it.
What is the stock?
Financial turnaround. Well, they still owe billions and billions of dollars. Their stock was down to 97 cents a share on January 20th.
Okay. This is after a 5x reverse stock split.
Yeah, which brought it up to 2-something, 240, I think.
Something like that.
Is that amazing?
And you don't have it in this article, but I read the iHeart people also got some bonuses.
Yeah, I looked for that a little bit, and I realized it doesn't matter because they're going under too. And it's really getting to that point. You're almost rooting for it to happen because you don't want people to lose their jobs that are good, but the executive certainly should be gone. And the people who actually do the work will get jobs because they're going to be needed.
And they're good. If they're good, they'll get another job. I know a couple of people that work at Cumulus that I know that if Cumulus folded tomorrow, they would still be working.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And what's odd about it, though, is it is, and this is probably why she got the bonus, but they have given local control back to the local stations. So they have done some good. But why does Cumulus need to own 250 stations? Is that doing anything to help?
Good question. Well, and we ask this question over and over and over. So if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you've probably tuned out by now because we're just repeating ourselves, right? All right. I think that covers it for anything else pending in the news?
New program director. I don't know the name. I just saw the headline. New program director at K-Big and Coast.
Okay. Well, we just talked about how important the programming is on those stations. So, all right. Well, we will be back next week.
All right.